countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, the EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson are set to talk today in a latest effort to try and break the deadlock in the bitter Brexit standoff between the UK and the EU as the clock ticks towards a no-deal scenario. The EU is taking legal action against the UK if they don't delete their internal markets bill, which unpicks aspects of the withdrawal agreement, which was signed by all parties not that long ago, in fact, earlier this year. I'm joined on the line now by ex-Taoiseach and EU Ambassador to Washington, John Bruton. John, good morning.
Good morning.
You've been, reanalysing the potential impact of a no-deal agreement. Now, we may have forgotten just how serious this would be for a lot of us, particularly for farmers in light of what's been happening this year. Just remind us how a no-deal as a headline would affect farmers.
Well, it'll affect all farmers, but particularly those in the beef sector. There'll be a tariff imposed if there's no deal on Irish beef exports to Britain, where most of our beef exports go, of 50%. There'll also be tariffs imposed on Irish exports to Britain of cheddar cheese, lamb, pig meat and butter. It'll be equivalent to the economic war of the 1930s in terms of its impact, certainly in rural Ireland. And fortunately, the economic war of the 1930s was temporary. This would be a permanent situation. There will also be very bad impacts in the shops in Britain, where it's estimated that food prices, some food prices will rise. For example, branded meat products, it's estimated by the LSE, will go up by 31%, dairy products by 55%, bakery products by 29% as a result of a no-deal Brexit. It will be a truly devastating impact right across the board, and all the additional delays arising from form filling and lorries idling in queues will, of course, ultimately have to be paid for by the consumer in the form of higher consumer prices.
What would happen, though, if the UK decided, and they do have the discretion maybe to drop tariffs down to zero for Ireland? What's the counterproductive side of that happening?
Well, I think that, first of all, they can't do that selectively because of what's known as the most favoured nation principle of the World Trade Organization. And the UK is saying that their aim is, in the event of no deal, to trade on what they call WTO terms. Well, one of the WTO terms is that if you give a reduction in tariff to one country without having a comprehensive trade agreement with that country, you have to give it to all WTO members. Now, there is a possibility that they could award Ireland some sort of a tariff rate quota where some of our exports would be exempt. But that would be a temporary thing and very contingent, and we couldn't really rely upon it. A no-deal Brexit, of course, will lead to a major political divergence within the island of Ireland, between Ireland and Britain, and between Britain and Europe. And the effects of that on ordinary people's lives are incalculable.
Mm. It's a very, very scary, but obviously factual picture that you're painting, and we're only 90-odd days away from this actually happening if there's no agreement. Now, you're obviously a veteran of these late-night kind of talks in Brussels going back the years and doing deals. Is this just typical political posturing before an 11-hour deal?
I don't think so. If there was just one issue to be settled, this sort of brinksmanship would be one that you would believe could lead to something good. But in fact, in this case, there are three or four different issues which have to be settled all at once. There's the level playing field issue about what industrial subsidies would be permissible. There's security, which depends on Britain respecting the European Convention on Human Rights, which they have a problem with. There's fisheries. And then all of these issues have to be drafted into a treaty, which will go to thousands of pages.
Now, and translated into several languages.
Yes, and ratified in the British and European parliaments. To get all that done, we have to have a settlement pretty well immediately. And there's little sign of that. We've had a succession of detailed negotiations by people who know their briefs on either side, and they have not reached agreement. Now we're going to have a video conference between Boris Johnson and the President of the Commission. The likelihood of that solving the problem, I think, has to be seen as quite small,
right.
But one hopes for the best. And if that doesn't happen, I think basically the problem is that what Britain is looking for and what the EU is looking for are incompatible. Britain wants to be completely sovereign, to be able to do what it likes and to have no restraint. The EU, on the other hand, says that if you're to have any form of agreements between countries, there have to be restraints in the form of treaty commitments.
Right. OK, finally, John Bruton, and very briefly, I just want to put to you the situation with Donald Trump across the water, apart from obviously his personal health. What other implications are there for what's happening from a...
Well, hopefully he will recover, but obviously if he doesn't, there are very complex positions for replacing a candidate in the midst of an election, which haven't even been explored in recent times. It's potentially a very difficult situation, but particularly difficult when it's occurring in a country which is so deeply divided, where people can agree on almost nothing between the two political parties.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. John Bruton, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. As I said, even if that is pretty dark and stark predictions there in relation to the effects on Brexit, on all of us and consumers as well, who face higher prices, it would seem, in the supermarkets. But we'll keep a close eye on